La 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 la. Mais on sait tous que c'est un tricheur, N'Golo Kanté. N'Golo Kanté, pa la pa la la. N'Golo Kanté, la 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 la. Il est petit, il est gentil, il a son péo.
N'Golo Kanté, la 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 la. Il est petit, il est gentil, il a son péo. Mais on sait tous que c'est un tricheur, N'Golo Kanté.
And now, Capital 263,
the song of the moment, N'Golo Kanté,
Sorti, something like that.
Ila Sope Leo Messi.
Exactly. Welcome to another episode of Mike Said Match. My name is Lizwe Chitanganya, aka Lizwe C on Twitter. Mike Said Match is brought to you by Capital 263. Free to say it, free to do it. We say the things that you do not hear from the mainstream media. We'll say it here. We're not afraid. It's a new dispensation. They don't abduct people. So we're all good. We're all good to say everything that we need to say. We're the sports show on Capital 263, base of shows. Check them out. Check them out across all social media platforms for different content, different types of shows, different types of topics being discussed. Just the one that I was listening to, how one guy is over 25, employed, and still staying with his parents on the Nook Nation. Just find out about that, you know, going to the different podcasts that are available. Well, this is Mike Said Match, your sports show again. I'm joined in the studio by Slim. What up?
What's up, Lizwe?
What's going on? What's going on?
Well, you know, fine. The World Cup is gone. We got that all wrong. Like, yeah, I'm sure you listened. We got that all wrong, right?
Yeah, but N'Golo Kanté, man.
But yeah, it was an enjoyable tournament. And, you know, sports is still going on. Very soon, the Premier League will be back. The preseason is up and running. Liverpool is buying players. So Manchester United is not buying. So it's exciting.
Yeah, well, the transfer window is going to close soon. This time it's closing before the league starts, so we need to conclude quite a lot of stuff before the league starts, so we need a whole lot of players. But anyway, we've got a whole lot of news for you today, covering a whole lot of different topics. We hope it will not be depressing today, no depressing news at all, I hope.
We are not talking Zim cricket, so we're all right.
But, well, we're going to have to start with Zim cricket because we spoke to Sizwakele, who was watching the match in Bulawayo. So we're just going to hear from her. She was at this at Queen Sports Club, and I managed to speak to her about the experience there. Just listen in and find out what she had to enjoy there. And
now, Capital 263.
I'm joined by Sizwakele Ndlovu. She is enjoying the cricket from Gobulawayo. How's the cricket so far, CZ?
The cricket is awesome. You know, we started off in the morning. It was really cold and overcast. And I thought, oh, maybe I should go home and sleep. But it cleared up. And the boys are putting up a great performance. But we're
what?
Chasing 364 now.
Are you saying that because you're just on radio or...
No, I mean, it's good. I mean, like, it's like I was saying earlier on, it's like likening me to swimming with Kirsty Coventry.
Oh,
I might be good, but she's just gooder, you know, so I'm acknowledging that they're trying. Come on, guys. I
really?
Mean, if we had God on the pitch there, maybe it might be worse.
364.
Yes. We might make it. I'm optimistic, but look, we're not going to win this one.
Okay. No, that's cool.
That's it.
But is the crowd out? Is the guys cheering on the team?
Yes, there's a few people out. I'd say about a couple of hundred people.
Okay.
It was really cold and the weather's really shady here.
Okay.
It was hot and cold. So it deterred quite a few people from coming out today. But
could that be the reason why the boys haven't performed? Like the weather is not really good?
Yeah, we could say that. Yes, it's the weather. Let's blame it on the weather, shall we?
Yeah.
But look, since Pakistan batted first, the game will be much longer. Or shouldn't I say that on radio?
Yeah, well, maybe an hour.
Yeah, compared to the other day when by 12 o'clock we were done. So
okay,
there's people going to come through later on.
After
lunch.
That's great.
And after church as well. Remember, it's a Sunday as well. It's church day for most people.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. That makes sense. Makes sense. No, let's hope the boys do perform. And thank you for going out and enjoying the game on behalf of all of us.
Oh, I love the guys. No matter what they do, proudly Zimbabwean.
Yeah, yeah.
Team Zimbabwe all the way.
Okay, no, it's cool. Thanks for the time, Caesar.
No, thank you. Thank you so much. Have a good one.
Cheers.
Cheers, boys. And
now, Capital 263.
Okay, Slim, that was Sizwakele. She didn't know that, of course, Zimbabwe would eventually lose, but we all knew.
She was just trying, you know, we love cricket. We love our same team, but
definitely.
You know, it's an abusive relationship.
No, it is. So what was your take of the results? I got some, you know, mixed reactions online. People were saying, some people were happy, including me, that at least I wasn't entirely happy, but at least there was some, I can't call it a fight, but there was some work that was put in. The guys did something that we can recognize. I mean, in the final ODI, they did, I won't say try, I'll look for another word. They did do something on the final day. There were a couple of 30s, couple of 40s, bold, 50 overs for 4 wickets gone. And I mean, it's not a bad look.
We lost 5-0. That's where I'm gonna start.
Okay.
We were not even competitive. We were not.
Nope.
Let's be honest. This is what's happening now. We've been reduced to looking for positives where there are no positives. That's how bad our team is right now. Mm. And I don't blame the guys who are crossing the boundary fence to go on and try and put on a show. But right now, it's like schoolboys playing against professional cricketers, and that's not right. Really, there are a few positives that I'm not going to even go there. No.
Well, our longest serving cricketer started when he was a schoolboy. So I guess some of those qualities are still in him and showing off. Hamilton Masakadza got a... I was about to say decent.
What he did. The only thing that he did that is right is that he's now the batsman who's played the most games for Zimbabwe. That's
shout out to that.
That's,
you know,
all.
Black empowerment. Black empowerment.
It's a bit sad though, because I was just looking at cricket going all around the world, right? And I can see South Africa being hammered down there in Sri Lanka. And to think not so long ago, we had a squad that was going toe for toe with Sri Lanka. Now look at us. We can't even take 10 wickets. Did we ever blow out Pakistan in the whole series? We did not.
We didn't. We couldn't even take out Imam or Hark. And my God, I can't even go into the last series. There's so much going wrong. And I've said I'm not paying attention to Zimbabwe cricket until Sikander Raza is back. So if he doesn't come back, then... it's done for me and Zimbabwe cricket, really. But anyway, we are joined today by Fungai. She's going to be speaking much later, but she also, you're shaking your head right now, so I just wanted to find out what you think about Zimbabwe cricket.
Really?
So what are you shaking your head to?
What do I think about Zimbabwe? I used to love it. I think I love it.
Uh-huh.
And then the current ODI series, I try to follow it on Twitter a bit.
Is it?
Yeah, until I figured it's not worth my data.
This is exactly the problem.
So apparently we lost 5-0.
Yeah,
series.
Yeah.
That kind of... What happened though? We used to be... Not too bad.
No, that's the question.
Now we completely suck.
Yeah.
We will not get into that. But Slim, just I know there's a whole lot of noise about how we look like right now, but so much of it happened after the loss to the UAE. I mean, the board overreacted, definitely, by taking off the captain, throwing away heat streak, clearing out the selection partner and the coaching staff. But where we are really is a result of that UAE match. Me, yes or no?
No. For me, the problem is when you take away 3-4 players, Zimbabwe becomes unrecognizable.
Yeah.
Which is an indictment on the board and not having a continuity policy. Because you can't have 3-4 players not being around and you're unrecognizable. You can't even play cricket.
Yeah. It
means that you have not been doing the work. You're not producing enough kids who step up when the time is there. And here's the problem. My main problem with Zimbabwe cricket is there is supposed to be a developmental Zim A side that is supposed to be playing. And that's where you're supposed to throw somebody in so that they earn their stripes there and then eventually come in and play for Zimbabwe. Our problem is you have somebody who just comes off playing some franchise cricket and all of a sudden they are thrown into the deep end. But that being said, I was so disappointed that they did not give Kamunu Kangwe a chance to play until the last match. I mean, seriously, the guy was the best in the ODI series that we played. He showed that, okay, he put his hand up and he wasn't given a chance. He kept on giving the Chigumburas and the Masakazas chances. But the kids there, Kamunu Kangwe, should have gotten a chance. It was surprising for me that they had to wait until the very last match. Was it the last match of the... I think he went in the last match.
He came in the last match.
So that wasn't really good. But however, having looked at it, there are a few kids who tried to do well. I was a bit happy by Ryan Murray getting a chance to play there. You see, they're trying to throw in the kids there. But I'm saying now, this is not where you put the kids. If you have a continuity policy, you'd have had somebody who was already knocking at the door in the Zim A squad,
yeah,
who actually would come in when your senior players are unavailable in court.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, that makes sense. We shan't not go that much into Zimbabwe cricket because we could spend the whole episode onto it. There was some Formula One that happened over the weekend. It's a new, relatively new sport for me. Fungai, there's a bright smile on your face. Do you follow Formula One?
Not at all.
Did you hear anything about Formula One?
Not at all.
Wow. Okay. You looked bright all of a sudden when I mentioned Formula One.
I'm fascinated how you guys talk about everything.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, that's what we do at Mike's and Match. So there was some Formula One activity happening over the weekend. I'm like one of those guys who don't really know much, but support Lewis Hamilton all the way. We had a discussion, or you, Slim, you had a discussion with Simba, and he was, you know, breaking down what happened in the Formula One. And we shall just play that and find out what Simba has to say about that performance over the weekend.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are talking motorsport, Formula One to be precise. We are taking a look at what happened at the German GP on the 22nd of July. Getting into the GP, Sebastian Vettel started on pole, followed by Valtteri Bottas, Kimi Raikkonen, Max Verstappen, Lewis Hamilton started 14th, and Daniel Ricciardo started, I think he started last because of the problems that he had with his gearbox. So I've given you, I think, three teams that are competing for the Constructors' Championship and the Drivers' Championship itself. So getting into the race, Sebastian Vettel had a lead of about 8 points to Lewis Hamilton. So we knew that Hamilton was always going to fight. He even tweeted that he was going to fight. So the race started well, calmly, and there was a threat of rain. I think the rain came around about lap 38. And Lewis Hamilton had a different strategy because he started on the super soft, which had a bigger lifespan than the rest. So we all thought that he was going to have a one pit stop strategy. So he was also helped by, I think, the biggest help that he got, I think it was the rain. So it started to rain, I think, around about lap 40 thereabouts, and everyone else had pitted. Including Lewis Hamilton, but his tires were still a bit fresh than everyone else's. So after everyone pitted, Sebastian Vettel was unfortunate to be involved in an accident of his own making. Yeah, but it happens in racing. So after that happened, the safety car was brought in, and Kimi Raikkonen had to pit again. which meant that Lewis Hamilton was took the lead of the Grand Prix. I think the safety car was there for about 7 or 8 laps, and it went out when there were 6 laps left to be completed for the Grand Prix. So in the Mercedes strategy, I think, was superior yesterday to Ferrari. Sorry, was Ferrari looked like they were clueless. They didn't know what was going on, and you know. So I think that helped Lewis Hamilton as well. So after the safety car came out, so it was now Mercedes 1-2, and something that I do not agree with, because I think Bottas was faster than Lewis Hamilton, because I think his tires were a bit fresher than Lewis, if I'm not mistaken. So he tried to overtake Lewis Hamilton, but the team said, no, you cannot overtake Lewis, because Lewis is the championship leader, which is something that, like I said, I don't agree with. But they did it, because you should let the drivers race, and, you know, but it was rather unfortunate. But kudos to Lewis Hamilton for his superior strategy. And for Mercedes as well, because getting into the Grand Prix, starting from 14th to come out a winner is really remarkable. But I also feel sorry for Sebastian Vettel, because you don't want to see, we want competition and healthy competition, but it's also part and parcel of racing. So Lewis Hamilton came first, then Valtteri Bottas was second, followed by Kimi Raikkonen and Max Verstappen. So that's what happened in a nutshell at the German GP. Thanks for listening.
All right, that's Simba giving his own thoughts about the Formula One. It's always exciting, you know, the commentary that happens with the Formula One on Twitter, Slim.
Yeah, we took Formula One on Twitter, and it was an exciting race. You saw Simba was laughing there when he said Vettel crashed due to his own doing.
Yeah.
He understands that I'm a Vettel fan.
Oh.
And I do not believe that it was his own fault. I believe when he changed his tires, he had faster tires than his teammate, but the team did not give the order. Because what happens in Formula One is that both teams have two drivers.
Uh-huh.
And most of the time there is a lead driver, the one who's chasing the championship, and the supporting driver.
Okay.
So in this case, Vettel had better tires and he was the lead driver, but he was behind his teammate Kimi Raikkonen.
Mm-hmm.
So he spent about 4 or 5 laps in behind, and that destroys the tires. So when the rain came and the track was a little bit slippery, Vettel lost it. And I believe it was due to those laps that he was behind the other car. So in terms of strategy, Ferrari got it wrong. Yes, Vettel might go and say it was his own fault, but that was diplomacy. I blame the team. Anyway, I know most people do not understand. I've heard people say that Formula One is just cars going round and round. But if you've ever seen a sport where science meets sport, that is Formula One. It's about the driver skill. It's about the strategy of the teams. It's about the technology in the car in itself. Each and every weekend, you know that the car is a little bit different. They're trying to play around with it. So the science out there, the science, they have the cutthroat science, the science that is taking the world forward. I really love that sport.
Fungi, is Formula One just like a number of cars running through tracks?
Yes, you can stand up, go to the bathroom, come back. It's the same thing. It is the same thing.
No, like, I kind of get the excitement in the buzz. I've watched a few races. I think I watched the last one before this past weekend's race. And, you know, you get into it, all the tactics and stuff like that. It is real. You know, those drivers have to know what they're doing. They have to think about it. There's to be some strategy. And I've also been go-karting lately. So I actually understand, you know, the driver plays a whole lot of a part into it. You know, the go-karts, they have all the same speed.
Yeah.
But once you get on the track, there's going to be slower drivers. There's going to be quicker drivers, but all the cuts are the same type thing. And, you know, it's how you maneuver the angles, the turns and stuff like that, where you can get overtaken or you overtake and stuff like that. It's really epic. And I really understand the buzz. And shout out to everyone who really follows Formula One. You got my attention, and I'm sure I'll be joining in the next race, you know, treating as well as it goes.
I just want to give a shout out to Simbarashe Mukwena. He's the one who gave the commentary.
And oh, what's his Twitter handle, by the way?
At Leg Slip.
Oh, yes, at Leg Slip. You know,
he's very knowledgeable about his sport. And I just wanted to say congratulations. He's a new father.
Oh, congratulations. Yeah. Leg Slip. Get in there, mates. Well done, and thank you for the support, the standard support. He's one of those guys who's always been there from the start, and up to today, you know, he owes us a visit, and we should have him very soon. And that's all we got for Formula One, and we switch right into the football. Slim?
Yeah, first things first, Ozil, the story about Ozil. Came out of the World Cup, right? Under a lot of criticism. Apparently, the press in Germany was going all in. Ozil was the reason why we lost. He was missing. You know the usual stuff, right?
Yeah.
And there was a picture that he took, I think, just before the World Cup with a Turkish leader, mm-hmm. right? And it was, so the German were going, you know, he's of Turkish origin.
Yeah.
So now he comes out and says, you know what? It's a bit racist what you've been doing. When we're winning, I'm German, but when we're losing, I'm that immigrant and everything. So it got to him, and he actually said, you know what, enough is enough. At 29 years old, he's quitting the German national team.
Look, that topic is very hectic. It transcends so many different places. You know, Trevor Noah raised the same, you know, when he was congratulating France as Africa. And it got so many of the French guys riled up. They're not too pleased with Trevor Noah. But it's an important discussion where there's so much racism, segregation, if I may say, that happens. And I'm going to, not on this show, but in one of the future episodes, also raise it in terms of how our local football actually happens. You know, there is also some tribalist tendencies where some players are good when they are good, but a different tribe when they are bad, you know, type thing.
We really need to go into this.
Yeah, I've actually got some stuff, and well, you know, today's not the day, but I'll definitely go into it very soon. I've spoken to some of the fans. And, you know, it's to be honest, it's largely when it's Dynamos versus the Highlanders. That's the match where you actually see a whole lot of that coming out. But we'll get into that in the future shows. And you were speaking about the Zimbabwe under-17s who are at the COSAFA football tournament. My only interest in those boys, well, sadly, was that Pokelo Nare's son is in the squad. He's the youngest player. I think he's 15 or 16. And he made the under-17s side. You know, a talented footballer from the Instagram clips that I see of Pokelo's Instagram. And shout out to Pokelo for, you know, letting the kids shine. And the kids playing for the Zimbabwe under-17s team. And she was bragging about how he's 15 or something, and he's the youngest in the squad. Unfortunately, as you're saying, they lost their matches.
Before we go into that, you've been stalking Pokelo, haven't you?
No, I follow. There's some certain people that I stalk, but not Pokelo.
Okay, Pokelo, if you're listening, you can unblock me now.
It was a moment of madness.
Yeah, wow. Well. Yeah. All right, so the under-17, we played the first match against Swaziland, and we lost by 3-2. Then the second match, which was played today, which is Monday, that we're recording, we were hammered 5-0 by Malawi.
Wow.
So there's one more match to go. It's versus Angola, who already have 6 points, and we've got nothing to play for. But then again, last year it was the same thing. We lost all 3 matches, so we're just making up the numbers there.
Yeah, well, that's it.
Do you want me to even go on and tell you about the fact that this is supposed to be the feeder club that goes and feeds into our national warriors?
I don't think
the problem that today, when you see us not making tournaments like the CHAN itself and eventually AFCON and the World Cup, it starts there.
Yeah.
Our associations just need to get their houses in order. The kids need to start playing the proper football so that they feed into into the
it's, today is not even the day that we go into this deep underlying issues, but well, you know, good experience for the boys. Let them go, have fun there.
I hope they went by plane. I hope they were not put in a bus and driven all the way. Where are they playing? I think it's Swaziland. I think, I'm not sure.
Okay.
So they might have, I hope they, at least they flew there, you know, for the experience.
Yeah. Well, talking about national teams, one of our big national sides is in the United States of America. That's our Zimbabwe Sevens rugby side. Well, are they back yet? No, they're not back, but they were in the World Cup. And, it was another.
Someone is cheering, huh?
Oh, yeah. It was another disaster class. I don't know if I can call it a disaster class, but, we played four matches, lost to Wales 33-12, lost to Uganda. I'll go over that one again. We lost to Uganda 24. Like, you'd expect that Zimbabwe would be better than Uganda because Zimbabwe play a bit more rugby, in my opinion, than Uganda. We're involved in the Craven Week where, you know, we have quite some support, although we're not probably as serious as, or as well invested as the Ugandans, but our cheetah side is like, should be our prime side. That's our prime rugby team. But they lost 24-10 to Uganda. Then they lost to Tonga 31-5. And but they did win. They got a victory over Jamaica, winning 33-21. So one out of four, 25%. That's like a U in high school maths.
Now let me tell you what is going on.
Yeah.
How many teams were there in the World Cup?
There's quite a number of teams, and
there were 24 teams in the world. Do you know, because all those matches, they will place you from number 1 to number 24.
I know.
So we are number 23 because we managed to.
Well done, Zimbabwe. Get in the 23rd best side in the world of rugby. What an incredible achievement. I watched a couple of their games. So many questions. I feel the guys were not as prepared as they should have been, because they've known for the past 6 months that they're going there. We've been speaking about this for the past 6 months. And when they were there, they look extremely buff and extremely slow, except for Chitokinda, who the commentator was calling him something, Chitokinda or something like that. But yeah, I wasn't too impressed by the side. The guys were not having fun. I even tweeted about that. They were looking so serious. When Jamaica played Papua New Guinea, PNG were having so much fun. They ran over Jamaica by even a huge margin, but they were having fun. And I think that's the purpose of sevens as well. You know, you need to enjoy it while you play it. The Zimbabwean guys didn't really look into it, but kudos for being number 23.
Yeah, but and we can't really, you know, they made it. It's not like they were invited to play in the World Cup. They actually made it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, firstly, thank you for making sure Zimbabwe's flag was flying in an international tournament.
Yeah.
We really, really appreciate that.
That's really good.
However, some of the performances, like when we played against Uganda, at halftime, we were losing 19-0.
Wow.
Yes, we put on a fight in the second half, but then, come on, guys.
I would say it's a young team, but looking at all the other teams, they're all young. So most of the teams are very, very young. And the oldest guys in the team are actually Chitokindo at 27 and Chamala as well at 27. That's the Zim team. The rest are 25, 24. The youngest being Shingi, who's 20. So I would say it's a young team, but, you know, all the other teams as well, they have so many young players in the side. So it's perhaps experience, the build-up, I'm sure we'll have a discussion with the coach, Gilbert Nyamitsambo, once they're back from the United States, find out what went on, how the experience was like, and what they learned, what they picked up. But as you said, you know, it's pretty good that we had a Zimbabwe team at the World Cup representing flying the flag. Yep. And that's what we have for the news, unless there's something else, Slim.
Nah, no.
Okay.
No.
So initially, we were meant to have a go about fitness. So two of our super guests, Fungai, this is not downplaying your role here. So two of our super guests pulled out at the last minute. So we will have the show, the episode again, but with the super guests. But for today, we're just going to have Fungai. But before we get into Fungai, we spoke to Betlin Nyasha, who is an avid runner. So she has a story to tell about why she runs and, you know, how she got to where she is. So we're going to just share it right now and listen in and enjoy.
Hi, how are you? So the reason I chose to run was because of my sister. She used to be a runner, a marathon runner. She used to run like 21Ks and she used to run like 42Ks. Everyone, she was there. So I just started it. And then at first it was so difficult because I could only do like 700 meters and I'll do like 100 meters stop. And then she'd just keep going and going and going and going. And then, so that's when I started. And then there's this book that I read called The Body Book by Cameron Diaz. And then it just, there's this part that I read that said that your body can do anything. It's just your mind you have to convince. So that's when this Christmas, I forgot the year, but then I just ran like 3.5Ks without stopping. And then that's when I realized, oh my gosh, I can actually do it, you know? And then some of the challenges with the running, when I first started, like shin splints, my legs used to hurt. They used to be so sore, but then now they're fine. Except for today, I couldn't even do my run. But yeah, and then other challenges is, I find it very difficult to run like in the afternoon, so I have to do it in the morning. If I don't do it in the morning, then I do not run at all. Why should everyone run? Well, just depends if you want to, for fitness, to like clear your mind. You know, I run because like I want to clear my mind, just to think, you know, with everything that's happening, just have to like clear your mind. And then the best part about running, really, there's no best part about running, but I just do it. But it's nice because, like, these days I'm running in winter and it's so cold. And they say summer bodies are made in winter. But, yeah, I think that's about it. I hope it makes sense. And I hope that everyone just goes there and runs. It's fitness, fitness. If you can't, for me, sometimes I run 10Ks, right? But then I'll be running. And then if I'm tired, I walk. Or if I'm tired, I stop. Then, like, I stop my app. And then make sure that your app, you're recording your runs, because that's what I do. But yeah, I think that's about it. Hi, how are you?
So that's about it. Fungai, you're on the show because you're also a runner.
A very amateur runner. A lazy amateur runner.
Why do you run?
I think when I started, it was to shed off a bit of weight. And then now, I like it. It's not about the weight anymore. I don't go in the skill anymore. It's dangerous. But I run because I like it. I like the feel-good hormones afterwards because I'm always in a good mood after a run.
Mm-hmm.
And I like wishing that my current run will be faster than the previous one. And I think it actually helps my mental strength because half the time I'm just pushing myself. Keep going, Fungi. Last kilometer, Fungi. So I think me and myself, we've got a greater bond now because we've been through all of these runs together. Yeah.
That's incredible. That's very much incredible.
I am so shocked that people run to clear their minds. I thought people would be here to clear their minds.
Well, people are quite different, and I also run. I was just speaking to Betlin, you know, she runs quite a lot. She's doing 10Ks, 7Ks in a week. She's probably running more than 30 kilometers, and She's crazy. But anyway, I know there's quite a whole lot of more people who run as well, who run as hard. And I can only do something like 15Ks in a week. But I get the, you know, that idea that Funga is raising, that, you know, you feel so fresh, you feel so energized, you know, the adrenaline rush afterwards is just incredible. Yeah. So why would you encourage other people to run, Funga?
A healthy heart. Run for a healthy for a healthier run. I think you shouldn't run for weight loss. You get disappointed and you stop running.
Okay, that's a huge point.
Yeah. Run because you enjoy it. Run because it's healthier. Run because apparently your body will thank you later that you ran. Why else should you run? Because it feels awesome. Yeah, it's a great feeling.
Slim is just cringing right now.
But here's the thing. My wife is a runner. She runs like
a lot. Yeah.
Right? And yeah, when she comes back, she's so energetic, and I'm thinking, what on earth is going on here? Like, you know, she wakes up real early in the morning, she goes on a run, she comes back, and I'm, you know, now I'm getting out of bed, and I'm, you know, and she's so energetic, and I'm, what's going on?
Like, what's happening?
You know, I don't run. I don't run.
The funny part is, Slim, you look like, you know, the runner. You'd qualify as one of those Kenyan runners. You're the slim guy.
Actually, I do have the endurance. The few times that I have run, I can actually run a long distance without really getting tired. Wow. I just don't see the fascination. That's why I'm so excited about this podcast that we're going to record, this one and the next one. Uh-huh. Because I really want to get... Maybe I just need that little push
when
I start running again.
Yeah, well, I get that as you're raising Funga, then most people do run to try and lose weight. And as you're saying as well, you do get disappointed quite a lot. There's a time that I ran like for a whole month, almost daily, but it was like 2 kilometers, 3 kilometers, and maybe 5 over the weekend. For 2 months, I went onto the scale. And I'd lost 2 kgs, just 2. And I was thinking, flip, you know, and you know, the motivation to wake up, like it's really early. Most runners do prefer to run in the morning. It's clear, you know, there's no traffic. It's just fresh air. It's cool. There's no sun as well. People are just running. And it was, you know, but waking up that early, 5:30, 6 a.m. to just go run is crazy. Did it for 2 months. Went on the scale, 2 kg loss. I'm like, what?
Stop.
I was like, this is so disappointing. I need to start researching into why it was only 2 kg. That's when I started figuring out, you know, diet plays a huge part. You cannot just wake up and run and get back to your normal meal schedule because you will just recover what you lost. So you won't really lose much. And yeah, that was some experience.
Yes, I've actually heard of runners who start running and when they go on the scale, they realize they've actually gained 5 kg.
Yeah.
Some of the body will try and adjust to the running and the more energy that is needed. And eventually, if you don't watch what you're eating as well.
Yeah.
Because if you're going on a healthy diet, look at who's talking
about it. Oh, gosh.
But go on a healthy... It's a healthy journey. It has to be comprehensive. It has to be a holistic approach. You just can't think that if I run a few days, then automatically you're going to burn down a bit of the fat or whatever it is. You have to actually do the whole thing, look at the food, take in a bit more water and, you know, look at the whole thing.
How's your experience with trying to lose weight over running for that?
I think it works. Mm-hmm. I lost about... I'm just doing some quick math. I think I lost about 15 kilos.
Wow.
Yeah, exercise. But there was diet also, and then you get to a point where you stop. Because I think I used to mark, I had like a little Excel spreadsheet. I love spreadsheets.
Of course.
I had a spreadsheet to track my weight loss. And then it got to a point where the numbers were not changing and the spreadsheet wasn't making sense anymore. And I think that's when I slacked. But then now I just run for the fun of it, and the spreadsheet is no more.
What's the longest distance you've ran?
To use the term run very loosely, it's 15Ks. Very loosely. Yeah.
How much time did you spend doing that?
A very long time. You know what? There was a December challenge. Run 160Ks in December.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't do that. I got to 80. So anyway, I just needed a lot of kilometers that particular month. Something today, I'll power walk 15 or run a bit. I'll run very slowly. So I started running a bit slowly, and then you need to run out 7.5. And then I realized that at this rate, I'll be late for my date. So I need to actually run so that I can get home and shower. But it took a bit. I think I ran. My run out was slower than my run back home. But I tried, you know, it's 15Ks and never again. Last time, 15Ks, Zakariba, guys.
Well, I actually enjoy my 10K runs. I don't do them often, maybe once a month. But, you know, it's such a task. So I went to this run and there were like all these professional runners. Mm. I did, it's fine. I did 10Ks in like an hour 14. So when I got to the registration desk, I was now like, you know, placing my time and stuff like that. So the guys were running 21 kilometers. I ran 10Ks. So I'm handing in my time to the guy who's doing the registration. Like, yes, what distance did you run? It's like, I ran 10Ks. He's like, you ran 10Ks? He's like, yeah, I did 10Ks. So I'm thinking, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, what? Maybe my time was very good. Then I look at the 21K runners. Their times are like 10 minutes from my time. Like, what? These 21, those guys are just crazy. They're not normal. How do you just run so fast for 21 kilometers? And it's not even a joke. It's crazy, but yeah, I don't. It's some experience. Running is some experience. I don't know. People do have different techniques of trying to gain their fitness. I do. I have resorted to playing football over weekends. You know, I think that's much better. And watching what I eat as well. I do run here and there, but you know, it's not as frequent as I'd love it to be.
Well, I'm a slacker, so I used to play a bit of volleyball over the weekend. I'm not even doing that anymore. Oh. However, I do walk a lot.
And
I
participate in the beer Olympics.
In a lot of beer Olympics and that. But I read somewhere, I think there was someone who told me on a tweet that it's healthy to walk at least 10,000 steps a day.
Oh, yeah.
And I have an app that looks at that, and I actually do walk at least 10,000 steps each day. So yeah, well, I'm confident. I'm doing something that is fitness related, and it's not by mistake. I actually take time to actually, if I have to walk, I actually do walk. It's just, I know that I'm supposed to take the 10,000, and I'm actually trying to do that religiously now, just to. But yeah. Anyway, I'm slim, you know.
You're right.
I'm not really looking to lose too much weight or anything, but I'm just trying to stay healthy, you know. Being healthy, who doesn't want to be healthy?
That's cool. Guy, well, how would you encourage someone to start running as we just close off the show?
How would you tell Slim to start running?
Yeah.
Don't start by going to a marathon with professional runners.
You'd be so disappointed.
Yeah, you'll be disappointed. I think you should start by running shorter distances and setting targets for yourself, like Manyok Shigapa Mutapo, and then tomorrow you go a bit further than the tree. And then before you know it, you're running the whole distance, and you need to encourage yourself. I think it's more of a mental thing than physical. Your muscles will hurt and whatever, but you just need to tell yourself to keep going, and you really can. Even if your lungs are on fire, you won't die. Keep running. You'll finish your run.
You won't die, sure.
I think so.
I'm thinking, like, if your lungs are on fire, they try to tell you something, huh?
No. They'll get stronger. Your lungs will get stronger.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, thank you for joining us, Fungai. Fungai Masango. Are you on Twitter, Facebook?
No, I am not
Instagram,
on Twitter. I am not on
Snapchat.
Instagram. You know the answer to this question. I am on Facebook only, and I have an email address. Pretty much, yeah.
Right. Thanks again for joining us. It's been a pleasure to hear from someone who actually takes part in active running, trying to get fit. So in the next episode, we'll speak to the pros now, you know, the people who live for running, and they'll give us more insight into, you know, how to keep fit. Slim?
Yeah, well, we'll definitely hear that. Maybe somebody will encourage me to run then, because running. But anyway, thank you for listening. And, you know, it's going to be elections in a few days, so make sure you go out and vote. And also go to Iono FM, listen to our past episodes, go on iTunes, rate us, please, leave a few comments there. And you know what? We want you to take part in our podcast. So if you've got anything to share, anything on any other sport that we're not covering, please send your voice notes. We really, 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 really want you to feature in this podcast, because this is for you. So from everybody here, it's bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye. And now. Capital 26.